There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fitzpatrick. End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome in to NFL Friday, WFUV's best and only NFL podcast. I'm Griffin Stevenson, joined by Owen Kelty, Joe Henry, and Mary Hannah Gallagher. Guys, the NFL season is officially over, ending last week with week 18. We now know both the NFC and AFC playoff picture, along with the NFL draft order, which some people in this podcast will be more happy with than others. But first, how are you guys doing? I'll start with you, Owen.
I mean, I'm doing good personally over the break, but my football team sucks. The Giants are terrible. They have eight wins. They're 8-30 over their last 38 games. Four of those wins have come in the last 2 weeks of the season when they have been eliminated, and that's only ruined their draft pick. So, you know, Giants suck. They can't tank right. They kept their GM, so they're just a terrible organization. Other than that, though, I'm doing good. You know, the Knicks are good, but the Giants, they'll never be good again. I think that's what I'm convinced of.
I'm doing good. I had blueberry pancakes this morning and coffee, and the Patriots are back in the playoffs, and everything's just coming together right now. I think if I had to add one element to my life, I want to get into bull riding.
Nice.
I'm good. I'm in Massachusetts, so everyone's really hyped here. But I'm also ready to be back in New York. More exciting there.
Other news too, really quickly, just to cover, I think might get covered on another episode because this will be a more general playoff episode, but every coach is fired. This has been coming out over the course of the last week, where even teams that I would, like this morning it was just announced that Mike McDaniel was fired, Stefanski was fired a couple days ago, Gannon was fired. It seems like if you're a coach and you've been told that they're sticking with you, they're not, man. They're not.
No, but no one's – I really was kind of surprised at the Dolphins firing their coach because they kind of turned it around at the end of the season. And then, like, I know they benched Tua, but Tua is also not a good football player. So I was kind of surprised they didn't stick with him. But they also fired the GM. I think if Harbaugh doesn't get fired, the Dolphins don't fire McDaniel.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're all in on him.
I was surprised that Raheem Morris went. That's the one that I was most upset about.
I think it goes back to the drafting panics.
Yeah, and but that's the GM, man.
They fired the GM too, though.
It was bold. Like that was the decision.
The Cousins deal. I mean, geez.
I don't know.
I feel like Morris never got a good hand to work with, and even then, like the Falcons were a half game away from making the playoffs.
If you're McDaniel, you're surely going to the Ravens, right? If you're the Ravens,
you want him?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's probably the second best offensive coach in football, I would say.
He's, like, lost that locker room, though, I feel like 2 or 3 straight years. Like, there's always, like, questions with that.
I think it's just because I'm a Dolphins hater, but I'm, like, anti-Mike McDaniel. I'm not a believer.
Yeah. Well,
as someone who's never been in an NFL locker room, I don't trust him.
I'm not convinced he can handle an NFL locker room. Like, I feel like he's never been – like, all his players have always seemed like they've kind of run all over him.
Yeah.
I was going to convince that Liam Cohen could lead an NFL locker room, but – clearly, you know, so it's difficult. You see a guy's personality and the way that they carry themselves to the media or whatever. You never know what it's like in the locker room, and every coach is very different styles. So I don't know. I mean, the Dolphins were good in his first year. Like, a lot of people were big believers. I think he was probably the most popular coach in football. He was one of the biggest stories in the league that year. But it's just been downhill from there. And the Tua stuff's a lot of it, but I think that team has one of the issues that I think might cause you to say, all right, let's pull the plug and just rebuild, is like, it's not that they're one piece away. They're not bad. They're not a tank worthy team, but both sides of the ball, there are a couple, like there are holes in multiple position groups, both sides of the ball, and a quarterback issue. It just feels like it's a multi-year issue and you just want to restart.
But kind of speaking to that, I feel like in the locker room, at least for Mike McDaniels, like towards the end of the season, he got some headway there. Like he started connecting with the team, obviously, at the end of the season. And firing your GM halfway through, I feel like starting in a new season in that way with someone who was only there half a season just doesn't really make sense for trying to build a culture for a team.
The only reason I could think of is maybe a coach that they thought wasn't going to get fired got fired that the Dolphins want.
Got to be Harbaugh, because they would fire, because I don't know who else out there. I mean, unless they want Morris.
I think the team that gets Brian Flores will be the team that wins a coaching race. You're going to have to probably give up like a
pick. Where is he right now? Minnesota?
Yeah, Minnesota. You probably have to give up a pick. But if you're the Ravens, I think you should go defensive and get someone like Brian Flores. But moving into now the general playoff picture, obviously there was some close week 18 games. We'll get into those kind of as we look over the playoff picture. In the AFC, the one seed, I don't think anyone saw this coming, is the 14-3 Denver Broncos. Second seed, you have the 14-3 Patriots. Then the three seed. The three seed, you have the Jacksonville Jaguars, who honestly right now are looking like one of the most complete teams in football. The four seed, you have the Steelers, who we'll talk about, got in via loop miss. Five seed Texans, six seed Bills, and seven seed Chargers. Let's start with the AFC. I'll go around and maybe we can give like a team that impressed you the most this season and disappointed you the most this season in the AFC. I'll start with you, Owen.
I mean, I think the most impressive team is going to be the Jags, especially because like if you look at last year, they really kind of looked like lost, and there was a lot of question marks around Trevor Lawrence. And then this year they lose Travis Hunter early in the season, still finished 13-4. I think they're the underdog in the AFC, because people don't really ever take them seriously. I think always looking back to the Jaguars, like any team really in the AFC South is never taken super seriously when it comes to the playoffs, but I think that the Jags are going to be a real threat. They have a lot of offensive weapons. ETN had a big bounce back year. Their defense is good, and obviously under Liam Cohen. Disappointing in the AFC? I don't know. I mean, it's always the Bengals. It feels like Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, such a talented roster, and then they just never come through. I mean, Joe Burrow was hurt, but they would have made the playoffs if they had won out once Joe Burrow came back, and the defense just sucks. I mean, they got to figure that out. I see, like, their defensive coordinator, actually, is Lou Armour, whatever his name is, still there? Like, he's getting head coaching interviews, and that guy sucks. I mean, their defense is terrible, so I don't know. They're disappointing every year.
I thought they fired him after last season.
I don't really know, but whatever they're doing on defense over there, they gotta figure it out, because it's not working.
Yeah. Mary, how about you?
I'd say my most impressive I hate to be like this, but probably the Broncos, just because I don't think any of us saw that coming from them. I mean, the Broncos, they haven't had really real contention since what, like 2015, when Peyton Manning won. So that, I think, is probably one of my most impressive. I think my biggest disappointment is probably either the Chiefs or... Yeah, I mean, like, that was just kind of a disaster season that they had three Super Bowl opportunities back to back, and then just kind of flopping.
I'll go now. Most impressive, no one said it yet, not to be that guy, but like, Patriots had the tied for the biggest single season turnaround in NFL history. Owen shaking his head, the schedule, whatever.
0.39 strength of schedule. Lowest ever, I think.
Same amount of players
are higher than their win-loss
percentage. Same amount of players arrested as they have wins against teams with winning records.
Deontay Banks, more touchdowns than the Patriots have wins for teams above 500.
To be fair, neither of them have been arrested yet. So, you know, legal issues aside, Patriots, huge turnarounds, certainly impressed me. I think my prediction was 10-7, so, and I was like an optimist about them. So for them to be this dominant, tells you a lot, because a lot of the early season wins were, you know, these close wins, but I think once they got that win over the Bills, they started really steamrolling teams. And so it'll be interesting to see how they, you know, stack up against four straight playoff teams potentially, but that's the team that impressed me most overall. But I really think pretty much every team that made the playoffs in the AFC was impressive. Like the Broncos, I thought were going to make the playoffs, didn't think they were going to be this good. I still am a little bit on fraud watch with them. Texans had a great bounce back year. I thought that they were going to kind of start trending downward. Jaguars certainly didn't expect this out of them. Who else we've been saying? Impressive teams. And Chargers probably about where you'd expect them. Bills a little bit worse than you'd expect. For me, the big disappointment, the only one that we haven't really covered is the Ravens. I mean, to miss the playoffs in that division with Lamar Jackson as your quarterback, even with the injury issues, just dysfunctional this year all around. I think I really like Harbaugh, so I'm hesitant to say that he had to go, but there are some, like, even within games, micromanagement situations where you're just, like, the decision-making so bizarre, like the Derrick Henry stuff where you're taking him out of the game in fourth quarters where he's dominant. Just, it doesn't make sense to me. That team's just way too talented, both sides of the ball, to miss the playoffs in that division. So I'll go with them with my biggest disappointment.
Yeah, I think you guys are kind of spot on with a lot of your predictions, or with a lot of your choices. I think I would have to agree with the Jaguars as the most impressive team, in my opinion, only because I really didn't think, I kind of had mentally written the Jaguars off already. I mean, the Patriots, Joe, you said, like, I think they've had an amazing season. I expected them to be decent this year. Obviously, not as, like you mentioned, not this good. The Broncos are kind of the same thing. Like, I think the Broncos were a team that maybe a lot of people were like, I think they could be good, you know, and then they actually delivered. So there's that. For most disappointing, I got to go with the Colts, man. To lose 7 in a row, to not make the playoffs and end the season is just insane. I know Daniel Jones got hurt, but like they played him for a couple games when he was still hurt, and because they lost a couple when he was healthy, quote unquote. But man, that, like, to go from 8-2 and like you're basically a lock to make the playoffs to 8-9 and you're out is insane. And then you trade on top of that, you empty your future and trade away 2 first-round picks for Sauce Gardner, and 2 games in, he tears his Achilles. So, like, I don't really know where they go from there. It's a hard one. My best friend is a Colts fan, and I've seen the love of the game fade away from his eyes. Man, they don't deserve that.
I mean, there's a solid chance that pick next year is, like, a top-5 pick.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have no quarterback. And, like, then really, I mean, that's really, I mean, we've seen the Colts for years not be able to perform without, like, they have a talented roster, but they've never been able to get a quarterback, and they've consistently had, like, a top 10 pick or around the top 10. Like, next year, the Jets could have, like, a really good pick there.
That pick could be owned by, like, Cincinnati. You never know.
Yeah, who knows what the Jets are going to.
Yeah.
Somehow the Jets will mess it up, though, so you can kind of rely on. They'll probably give it back to the Colts for fun.
Yeah. Moving into the NFC now, and I'm going to start us out when we talk about the NFC. But first, going down the order, you have the 1 seed, the 14-3 Seattle Seahawks, the 2 seed Chicago Bears, the 3 seed Philadelphia Eagles. The Panthers make their way into the 4 seed thanks to, I believe, the Atlanta Falcons, the LA Rams with the 5 seed, the Niners in the 6 seed, and then the Packers kind of jog their way into the 7th seed, dealing with some injuries, but they make it. I said the Seahawks would be 12-5 at the start of the season. No one believed me. Every single person said that we would probably finish last in the division. The Seahawks have the best defense in football, like by a mile, in my opinion. The Texans are second, for sure. But the Seahawks are better. The Seahawks have like a triple crown right now defensively. Played Bijan, I believe, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Rico Dowdle all in our past four games. Haven't given up a run more than 12 yards. Haven't given up a run to a running back, or haven't given up 100 yards rushing to a running back in like 30 games, which is insane. Sam Darnold's a game manager. I'll give you that. But he can manage games. JSN is Offensive Player of the Year. And in order to go through, to the Super Bowl, you got to go through Seattle. So, granted, I'm a Seahawks fan. I feel like if you didn't get that by now from listening, you would. But I'm going to go with the most impressive team in the NFC has been the Seattle Seahawks. I don't think anyone thought they'd be 14-3. For the most disappointing team, I'm going to go with two. I think the easy one is the Lions. The Lions, bro, you should have been in. You should have been. Honestly, you should have been competing for the Super Bowl. Like, what are you doing? I know Ben Johnson isn't there anymore, but those games where, like, they went for it, like, six times on fourth down and didn't get one of them. I don't know, Dan Campbell. A little interesting. But sneaky most disappointing team is the Falcons. Like, the Falcons could have easily been a playoff team. I honestly think if they started Kirk Cousins at the start of the year, they would have been a playoff team. I still think they're a quarterback away, but they gave away their first rounder. Granted, James Pierce Jr. has had a great, like, he ended up having a great rookie year, but I don't know. I think they needed a quarterback. And their offensive play calling was atrocious. It took them forever to figure out that they just should give the ball to like the best running back in football. And then I don't like their defense was okay, but listen, if a team wins that division with an 8-9 record, the Falcons had no excuse to not make the playoffs. And hopefully this is the year. Obviously they fired both their head coach and their general manager. Hopefully this is the year they sort of figure it out. I think we can go kind of reverse snake for this. So Joe,
yeah, I'll stay in the NFC South. For disappointment, we'll go with the Bucks. Again, it's a situation where, like, if you look at holistically on the year, they only disappointed you by two or three games. But if you look at within the year, similar to the Lions, talking about them, it's disappointment. Like, a team that started out the year so good, and we were talking Baker Mayfield, potential MVP, and this team just every skill position player stepping up despite all the injuries they had there. Early in the season, the depth showing off, it just looked like the runaway favorite for the NFC South, as easy a division as that was, and just a nightmarish collapse second half of the season. And then the Panthers just, I'm happy. The Panthers are one of the more impressive teams of the year. I didn't expect them to take, you know, a leap this significant. I still don't think they're, you know, a playoff caliber team, but like, man, if you're the Buccaneers, you have the division is in your hands, not only the entire season, but last week of the season, just beat the Panthers in this situation. Like, oh my gosh. I mean, they did beat the Panthers, right? But the fact that they were in a situation where they didn't have control of their own destiny, I should say, is crazy to me, not just because of the way they started the season, but the talent gap in that division. I mean, the Falcons are there, but like, the Panthers should not be in the postseason right now, no disrespect. So I'll go with them as a disappointment. Impressive. You already talked about the Seahawks. I don't want to give them any more attention than they need. There's plenty of teams that I could go with here. I want to go Niners because for like the gazillionth year in a row, they've had the most injuries in the league. And this was a team that they've kind of run back the same core year after year. And I thought that they were kind of in this kind of like if you were go through like the life cycle of a star, they're like in those dying phases where it might still be fizzling, but it's fizzling out. And I figured they were going to have to really reboot things and change the way that they looked personnel-wise. And despite all the injuries, to be 12-5, yes, you're a wild card, but you're playing in probably the best division in football this year. Certainly, I didn't expect that. I thought Brock Purdy was super impressive. Now, going into the playoffs is a different story. We'll talk about it. But still, the fact that they got here and were, 12-5 is a really good record. So I'll go with them, most impressive.
Yeah, Joe, I say as a Seahawks fan, I will give them props. It is ridiculous that the Niners were competing for a one seed down to week 18, considering like like you said, whether it's you see on Twitter the electric substation next to their training facility.
Yeah, what's that about? I just saw that episode. I didn't really get it.
So this was like some guy pointed this out like a year ago and he got like laughed out of everything. And now it's become more circulated. Apparently being next to like electro substation does something to like, I don't know, like weaken your like tendons or something like that. And that's why they have like triple the league average of like Achilles tears, like, and stuff like that.
There's no way that's true.
No, I saw the map and people were like, the 49ers might actually have to move their stadium.
Yeah, it's actually cheaper to move the practice facility than it is to get rid of the electrical substation.
Hey, Google AI calls it a conspiracy theory.
No, but now it's picking up. That's how it was, but now it's like people are like actually taking it seriously. Because dude, their whole team is like
they're always hurt every year.
Oh, yeah,
they're so hurt.
They have triple the rate of all like tendon injuries over the past 10 years. Since moving to Levi's. It's like so more
the electromagnetic force is just pulling their tendons apart.
It's weakening them because it's like 5G. I don't know. You know, we can get deep into this here. There's a deep hole we can get in here.
Well, let's have Mary go with her NFC choices, and I'll look into this, and I'll give Joe an answer.
Okay, I think that's crazy, but I do think that there is an independent variable at play there. Like that does line up too much, but. I think my most impressive team for the NFC was the Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams with franchise record. And I feel like in football almost, we have a culture where you always count the Bears out. They're classically bad. But I think that in the past coming years, they've really kind of been building up against that. And then I think having that 10th overall pick with Loveland really helped them this season, and DeAndre Swift also up there, really high rushing yards. I think it was over 1,000. And then I think my most disappointing team, I hate to copy, but I also think it was the 49ers. I think that they have classically bad luck always. I don't know about this conspiracy theory, but I do think I had a lot higher hopes for Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy could be really good if he just had tendons, I guess, that didn't keep ripping.
The official story is that chronic ELF exposure is degrading the collagen integrity in the player's tendons, ligaments, and muscle tendon junctions.
Collagen integrity.
I believe it.
I believe it too, because so whether or not it's true, the thing that the people are talking about is that the players have started to believe it. Like, that's what the story is, not necessarily that it's true. And first of all, if you look at that roster, I don't think of a roster more. I can't name a roster that would be more susceptible to those theories.
It's
Nick Bosa, Brock Purdy, Ricky Pearsall. In McCaffrey.
I have a way we should test this.
Guess who started this? John Feliciano.
Yeah, no, but all I'm saying,
legend.
All that matters if they start to believe it. That's all I'm saying. Also, the Super Bowl's there. So if the teams that are in the Super Bowl, if people just like, I mean, we should start to believe this, man. Fred Warner in the Super Bowl. I know it wasn't in San Francisco, but dude, he popped his Achilles tendon running onto the field.
We should test this out since we're going. You know, we're gonna be in Santa Clara. So while we're at Fordham, we have one of us do routes on the football field until our ACL explodes. And then we see how many routes it takes. And then when we go to California, someone else run routes on that practice field and see how long it takes them to blow out their Achilles.
Does the ELF exposure have anything, like, will it be bad about, like, going out in San Francisco? Like, how does it work with that? How does it work with that?
These are important questions.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell, get on this.
Yeah.
Well, would it not matter for you guys because you're not always in San Francisco? Like you said, it's chronic, right?
Okay.
We gotta send someone over there now.
Yeah. The actual stat.
Yeah.
Since moving to Levi's Stadium in 2014, they're in the top five for adjusted games lost, like due to injury. they have 7 to 8 full Achilles / patella ruptures a year. The league average is 2 to 3 a year. They've had in the span of the 10 years they've been at Levi's, they've had 40 major hamstring / calf tears. They have high ankle syndesmosis injuries every single year. No other franchise comes close. Again, I don't think maybe there's a connection, maybe there's not, but the only thing that matters is if the players think that in the back of their head as a Seahawks fan, I love that. I love that, man. If I'm like a Seahawks player or someone like that, I'm just going to make like noises when I line up against someone for the rest of the, like,
that's crazy.
Just like be like, yo, how about those electric substations, man? just
have them. Oh my,
dude, you should put up, like, if you're a team and the Niners are coming to town, find the closest hotel to the closest electric substation in your city and put the team up in that.
It's like the haunted hotel in Milwaukee that like Mookie Betts refuses to stay in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But MLB always puts them in the haunted hotel.
Also, they're the most like, dude, they would believe that too. Oh, that's so funny. They should wear like tinfoil hats.
I mean, I believe it. I'm convinced.
Tinfoil helmets. Tinfoil helmets. All right. Owen, go ahead. Give me your NFC choices. I wonder who's going to be your most disappointing team.
Well, most disappointing, obviously. I mean, actually, the Giants aren't even disappointing because they suck every year. So I can't even, like, be disappointed anymore. It's expected. I think most disappointing is the Falcons because they wasted Kyle Pitts' breakout year. It finally happened. I've drafted him in fantasy every year, and he finally had his breakout year, and they didn't make the playoffs. But, I mean, there's so much talent on that roster, defensively, offensively, the weapons they have, Drake London, I mean, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier. Michael Penix, I think that was the whole downfall of that organization, was signing Kirk Cousins and drafting Michael Penix. That just never made any sense whatsoever. And Penix really wasn't ever that good, and especially the injury concerns. I mean, the guy had like 6 knee surgeries when he was in college, and now he's what, second year in the league, he already has knee injury. So I think that was kind of, you know, right in front of you that was going to happen. So I think the Falcons are the most disappointing. Bucks too were up there, but they were so injured also. They lost Mike Evans most of the year. Godwin was always hurt. Ibuka had that insane start, and then I think he led the league in drops, or had one of the highest drop percentages. So they kind of just collapsed. But most impressive, I mean, you like to see the Panthers get in the playoffs. I mean, lock of the century, Rico Dowdle, anytime touchdown score this weekend. It's happening. I don't know if you saw the TikTok edit he posted, but he is scoring this weekend.
They could win. I honestly think they'll. Hey, we don't give gambling advice on these things, but they could very easily cover. I think their line is like 12.5, and I think that's way too high considering the Panthers beat the Rams at home.
Like, I think they cover, but I don't think they'll beat the Rams. I think the most impressive team I think it'd be the Bears. I mean, they have they're coming in with Ben Johnson, and Caleb Williams kind of had that breakout year, broke the franchise record for passing yards, didn't get to 4,000, which is insane that no Bears quarterback has ever thrown for 4,000 yards. Only team in the NFL that's never had a 4,000-yard passer. But
yeah,
there's so much talent on that Bears roster, and I feel like last year was very disappointing, and see them put it together this year, I mean, that offense is very – like you have DJ Moore, Kyle Manungai, Rutgers legend, Swift, Loveland – you know, all the Rome Odunze, who's been hurt a lot of the year, and then Luther Burden's had a breakout rookie season. I mean, there's so many weapons, so you expect them to be good. But I mean, I think they can make a little run at it. I'm a little worried about the Packers, though. I don't know if they get it past
them. They'll talk. Yeah, we can talk about that in a second when we like do our little playoff predictions. But yeah, that Packers matchup is interesting. Really quickly, the Giants and the Jets. The Giants beat the Jets the Giants beat the Cowboys, excuse me, in the last game of the season, beat the Raiders in the second to last game of the season. Go from the number one overall pick to, is it the fifth?
Yeah, they had the first overall pick, and then they beat the Raiders, then they fell to 2, and then they just had to lose to the Cowboys, and then they'd have the first overall pick, and then they beat the Cowboys, and then they dropped to 7, and it was a miracle that Shedeur Sanders finally had a good drive in his career. And the Commanders beat the Eagles.
Yeah. And then the Jets get the the second overall pick. The Jets also, in the most insane stat ever, unbelievable stat, up there with the Bears never having a 4,000-yard passer. No interceptions this season, which is just, I don't know how that's possible in an 18-game NFL season, to be honest.
You see the thing that if you would bet like $10 like on their first game to not get an interception, you rolled it over every game, you would have made $5.6 million.
Like,
how do you not?
This hasn't happened since
how do you like not get an interception.
Yeah, it will never happen again. Because
no,
realistically, if you probably stood in one place,
like, no tickets passes.
Yeah.
Like, how is that possible?
They had one that was close in the final game. But, like, yeah, that's insane. Like, I don't understand. Like, not one. And, I mean, they – like, the Jets played, like, Shedeur Sanders at one point, too. Like the
they
Jets –
played a lot of bad – like, Josh Allen throws interceptions. They played guys who throw picks.
But, yeah, they do. It's just honestly – it's honestly mind-blowing. I really don't understand how that happened. You played the Saints? You played the Falcons?
I was playing too, I think, so.
Yeah. Joe Burrow throws picks? I mean, they played Tua, man. Like,
yeah, Jets are never going to be good. The Jets and the Giants are forever cursed. I think both franchises will never, ever see the light of day of the neither franchise will ever see the pearly gates. Both of them are just atrocious.
Have you seen those people will throw the last ChatGPT, like who's going to win the next 50 Super Bowls? And they'll like have like normal teams and then be 50 years and the Jets don't show up once, but then they get to like expansion franchises like Burger King, Shell, like the Mars, Martians. Like these dudes are winning before the Jets, according to GPT.
I mean, the Giants sold their soul for those two Super Bowl wins and the Jets. The butt fumble cursed the franchise forever, and then Mark Sanchez decided to get stabbed. So, like, that's just the whole thing. And then Joe Namath also sold. Joe Namath made a deal with the devil for that Super Bowl back then and just cursed the franchise forever.
Yeah, well, I think Mark Sanchez, that was, like, I can't believe Mark Sanchez, the, like, night before commentating a game, got drunk and tried to like what did he do? He was
on some illicit substances doing wind sprints in a tunnel or an alleyway, and some guy blocked the alley.
It was an Uber.
Yeah, he tried to go beat the driver up, and the driver just stabbed him a couple times.
How did that happen?
I think the Jets they're in for an interesting one. Like, I think they should go quarterback.
But no, if Dante Moore is injured,
it won't work, but go for it.
If you're the Giants, you go skill position, surely, right?
Yeah, I think the Giants are in a good place where, like, maybe one more skill position guy, and like, I think that team can make the playoffs next year. I think that's possible.
All I'm going to say is I think the two best teams in football, one team from the NFC and one team from the AFC, are proof that draft O-linemen, man.
They all suck. They always suck. Like Evan Neal, like he was Evan Neal was like the most obvious first round talent ever out of Alabama. 4 years Bama, no sack, like physical specimen.
Did you see where Dexter Lawrence is going, Owen? Next week.
Where?
He said he's visiting. Leonard Williams said he's visiting Leonard Williams in Seattle for the playoff game.
But he's gone. He's requesting a trade. So he hates. I don't think he likes Joe Shane at all.
Just wait for the Seahawks front six of Dexter Lawrence, DeMarcus Lawrence, Jaron Reed, Leonard Williams, Max Crosby, and Boye Mafe. That we just take over. The Jets, the Giants, they will always live in a constant state of agony. I think there's no hope for either of those franchises. You should give up if you're a fan of either of those franchises. But it makes for some fun entertainment. Now, for some actual good teams and teams that I think have hope for the future, almost immediately we move into the playoff bracket. We'll get into our predictions. So I think we started with the AFC. We can start with the NFC. Let's just each go through each game and then sort of build. Maybe should we do a consensus bracket? Like people can outvote majority rules, I guess.
Yeah, I like it.
Make our case. We'll start with the 7 seed Green Bay Packers at the 2 seed Chicago Bears. And an interesting fact I learned about this game. Does anyone know the last time the Packers played in Chicago in a playoff game?
Is it never?
It was the weekend after Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
They played football then still?
Yeah.
They didn't cancel.
I'm surprised they still played that game, honestly. That's like, I mean, I guess it's pretty far, but I just think the Bears have never been in a position to host the Packers in the playoffs.
The last time the Bears hosted a playoff game was the double doink.
Yeah.
That's 2018, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think the Packers win.
I think the Bears win.
I also think the Bears win.
I'm not super high on either of these teams going into the playoffs, not due to their seasons or anything like that. They both had really impressive seasons. I think, for me, it feels like both these teams are slightly on a downturn overall. I mean, the Packers' defense with Micah Parsons, it hasn't been like a significant drop-off, but I just don't fully trust them. Neither of these teams have looked, I would say, exceptional for 60 straight minutes in the past couple of games. Certainly not last week with Chicago, but I think for me, home field advantage counts for something. Soldier Field, like, that will make a difference. And this Bears offense, Ben Johnson, I always was a huge Ben Johnson guy when he was with Detroit, even before he became like a head coaching candidate. Like, I have trouble believing that for two consecutive weeks, the Bears could have a really poor game offensively. Now, worth saying, when these teams matched up in the regular season, I don't think the Bears held a lead for a single second in either of those games, because in the one that they did win, it was in overtime. So I think it will be a close game, but my leanings are with Chicago. Now, do I think Chicago makes the conference championship? I actually don't. It depends on the matchup, but I don't think they do. But I do think they take this one.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I trust Caleb Williams with this offense more than I trust a Packers offense. And I think that home field advantage is really big when it comes to a playoff game with a rivalry like this. And I think that the Bears are probably very aware of that Pearl Harbor stat. And I think that they'll probably just have more energy going into the game. And the Packers going into playoffs are on a 4-game losing streak. They're not.
No, I didn't know it was a 4-game streak. I was sorry. Like, I thought it was only like two, and I was like, oh,
well, because they had,
Wow, they're cooked.
They didn't start players last weekend, yeah, and some of that
hasn't played since the week 16. But I don't think
but Malik Willis might be better than Jordan Love.
Yeah,
one, Malik Willis has played well. Two, Jordan Love, like, I think there's something to be said about you missed 2.5 straight weeks just from healthy rest. Like, I don't think he's gonna be as good as if he played during that span.
Yeah, it's also not Toyotathon.
Have they only lost games outside of Toyotathon then?
I think so.
Wow. I didn't know it was 4-1. That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I think the Packers could very easily win this game. I think if one team's going to upset, it's going to be the Packers in the first round.
I don't know if it'd be an upset, though. Their line is even.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be, but like, sorry, if a higher seed's going to win in the first round, I think it's going to be the Packers. A lot of people think it's going to be the Niners. So let's talk about that game. I don't think the Niners can win. I think if the Niners were a little more healthy, it's looking like Trent Williams won't be back. It's looking like Ricky Pearsall won't be back. They didn't practice yesterday, considering they got to fly to Philly. I don't know. Philly also looking for a revenge. Like, Philly's kind of looking for a revenge against the Niners. I really don't see a way. Like, again, I'm not even saying this as a Seahawks fan. I would have said this about the Seahawks if it was the other way around. Losing your division in the one seed at home to your biggest rival in the manner that they did, considering they were averaging 35 a game going into that and then only put up 3 points, I think it's really hard as a team to bounce back from that momentum-wise and just emotionally.
I mean, I don't see the Eagles winning. Their offense is like so brutal to watch, and I don't think their defense is that good. I mean, the Niners, like, I think them with Brock Purdy, CMC, and Kittle will be enough. Like, the Eagles' offense against, like, I mean, it's what, Saquon up the middle, AJ Brown deep ball. I mean, that's not gonna win you anything. Like, I also hate the Eagles with every like fiber of my being.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, the Niners are the, like, I guess. I don't know.
This is also just me and you arguing because I hate the Eagles and you hate the Niners.
Like, well, I want the Niners to win. I would love to play the Niners. If I would love if the Niners won because I think we match up really well against the 49ers. And I would love to play them in the divisional.
Think about it. The Eagles lost to the Giants. Can anyone really take them seriously?
I guess, but like the Rams lost the Panthers. I think the Rams are probably the second best team in the NFC, you know?
Giants, though, are not the Panthers. The Giants. Yeah. The Giants.
I don't know, Mary and Joe, what do you guys think? You're going to have to break the tie here.
I hate the Eagles, but I also think that the Eagles have this one. I don't think that the 49ers have it in them to be able to beat a team like the Eagles. I know that the Eagles lost to the Giants, but that could also just be, it was probably just a bad day for that team. Like, I think that the Eagles have a better track record when it comes to rallying than the 49ers do. I think the 49ers almost rally too much and then they get nervous and then they fail.
Yeah. Also, they're beat up. They're coming from a shootout with the Bears and then a primetime matchup against.
And a shootout with someone else before the Bears, no? There was like three straight games of the Niners having games on primetime.
Oh, yeah. Well, they kind of a shootout with the Colts.
Yeah. Yeah. That Colts game.
Yeah. And they're injured.
Yeah, I have to go Eagles here as well. Not super high on the Eagles right now, but I think what I'm worried about is if they really take control of this game, that's going to make like the entire NFL world terrified because this team's still more or less the same team that won the Super Bowl in pretty dominant fashion last year. Now, they have not unlocked the offense. I think the defense maybe is a half step worse, but that defense is still elite. This is a Niners team, again. Injury's been a problem all year. They just came off what probably their worst offensive game of the year. They only scored 3 points. Of course, against another really good defense. But for me, I think the Eagles in the playoffs, man, they're unstoppable, especially at home. They're 5-0 at home all time under Nick Sirianni in the playoffs. Average score of those games, 35-14. They have never turned a ball over in the Nick Sirianni era at home in the playoffs. 5 games, 0 turnovers. 14 takeaways. They've only trailed for 5 minutes total across those 5 games. They've been dominant at home in the postseason. I don't see that changing, even if this season has been a little bit concerning and the offense hasn't fully clicked. My biggest fear, and I think it could come true against these Niners, is that the offense, especially with Saquon Barkley, finds a way to reach what it was last year. That could be a real problem because I think this defense is legit.
I agree. We could go quickly with the Rams-Panthers game, right? Like, even as a Seahawks fan, I want to cope and say the Rams will lose. The Rams are going to win. They're a better team. It would be insane if they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'll be close. All right, let's do the AFC division. Let's go, like, round by round, I say, at each conference. So, because it's going to be anticlimactic, right, if we just know who the AFC is playing or who the AFC will play in the Super Bowl. You got to go.
I'm with you.
All right. Chargers, Patriots. Joe, you could speak on this a little bit, but I just want to say the Chargers suck, man. Like, the Chargers might be the worst playoff team.
Bro, what?
No, they're not. They're not.
Did you see the dude? They have the worst rated pass and run blocking.
That's to be fair, their entire O-line is just torn ACL.
Yeah, dude, it's Justin Herbert and then a bunch of like it's Justin Herbert and friends.
Yeah, but I like Justin Herbert and friends. I think they beat the Patriots. This is the best team the Patriots have played this year.
No.
Are they beat the Bills? Away? Are you kidding me? The Chargers are better than the Bills.
No, they beat the Bills.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
This Patriots team is good.
You just called them the worst playoff.
Patriots are not good. I'm mega maxing the Chargers Sunday night. Mega max.
We'll talk about it when they have to play the Texans.
Goat Will.
We'll talk about it when they have to play the Texans, Joe.
I can't even conceive of why it's a 3.5 spread. Not to say the Chargers can't win this game, but I feel like the Patriots should be favored by more. I think Herbert in the playoffs has been bad, frankly. The Chargers in the playoffs have been bad, frankly.
He's played one playoff game.
No, I think he's played a few. I'm not sure if I have the stats on me. No, I don't. But he hasn't been good in the playoffs. As you said, O-line's an issue. Patriots D-line is getting healthy. Their pass rush isn't exceptional, but I think it's good enough to cause some problems. And then home field advantage, Patriots have been good at home. They've been even better on the road. Patriots are just too good. Not to be too reductive, but like Patriots have been too good. They're not losing this game.
I also think that the Patriots are maybe running away from some things now, and that might keep them up.
Patriots got this, I think. And you're going to be disappointed, man. I really don't think the Chargers. Honestly, the Chargers are a team where I was talking to my friends about this. If the Chargers just like disappeared off the face of the earth, how long do you think it would take you to notice? Like, realistically, like how many weeks of watching Red Zone would you be like, like without fantasy football, would it take you to be like, man, I feel like we're missing a team here. You know, they're just such a, no one cares. They don't have fans. Like, they really don't. Like, listen, the Chargers lose. Buffalo, Jacksonville. I think this is the closest game. I think Jacksonville wins, personally. I think they're a more complete team. They're at home. I think they pick off. Josh Allen's prone to picks. The Jaguars have, I believe, the second most interceptions in the league. And they're just complete, and they're on a roll. Honestly, I think it's gonna be the Jags at home.
I don't know. I'm torn on this one. Like I do like Josh Allen, so like I want to pick the Bills. Like I have some Bills bias there, but I think the Jaguars are gonna win. I don't know why, but
league wants the Bills to go to the Super Bowl because they're easy.
This is also the most open it's ever been for Josh Allen.
Yeah,
it is. Allen's all of his playoff runs have been ended by Mahomes and Burrow. I think 3 by Mahomes, 2 by Burrow, and he doesn't have to play either of those guys. I'm a big Josh Allen believer, even as a division rival fan. This might be the worst team he's run with in a few years to try and make the Super Bowl. But their O-line is really good. Their running back is really good. Their quarterback, to me, is the best quarterback in the playoffs, probably the best quarterback in football. And I think, for me, to the same extent where you could never pick against Mahomes or never pick against Brady, I'm right there with Josh Allen. Like, I trust Josh Allen to make all the plays needed to win a game down the stretch, and that's why the Bills are the team that I last want the Patriots to play on this Super Bowl run. So I really like Jacksonville. I'm not stunned at all if they win this game. They've created quite the home field advantage there, but I think I can't pick against Josh Allen. That's my only rationale. I can't pick against him. I think he pulls it out.
I'm right there with you, big Josh Allen believer, but I don't believe in the Bills team as much as I believe in the Jags team. I think that the Jags, like you guys have been saying, just have a more complete lineup. They have better depth when it comes to like actual playmaking and scoring than I think the Bills do. I think the Bills have Josh Allen, and I think they have a good lineup, but I think that the Jags have a great lineup.
There we go. We're going with the Jags. 3-1. The last game is Houston Pittsburgh. I think in the same way of the Rams Panthers game. In my mind, this game isn't close. I think the Texans win this game.
Texans defense is going to score.
Yes. The Texans are just, yeah. All right.
First round exit for the Steelers.
Yeah. Joe, you agree?
Won't get a playoff win.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think the Steelers I think the Panthers might be worse than them, but Steelers are not good. Mike Tomlin's fulfilled his, it'll be back next year. They got 9 wins, whatever. I think
that field goal really decided who got fired between Tomlin and Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also do think, though, and I'm not even just saying this, I think the fact that Mike McDonald went 14-3 with the Seahawks and got the one seed also didn't really help Jim Harbaugh, considering that that was the guy they were going to go with,
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't really have a choice. I mean, the guy's getting hired as head coach, you got to let him go. Or did they fire him?
No, but they just could have. I mean, it is a tough situation. I was talking to my Ravens fan coworker about this, because they had just lost in the AFC Championship, right? Like, it would have been in Mike McDonald's out of contract. It would have been harsh to fire Harbaugh, But also, that's the type of decision that separates good GMs from great GMs, But, okay, Steelers, we have the Texans going through there. Now in the divisional, what we chose would have the Rams going to Seattle and the Eagles going to Chicago. And let's start with Seahawks Rams in Seattle. Not biased. This game as a Seahawks fan terrifies me. However, I think the Seahawks win. And I'm not even just saying that. I think the offense, like the defense, is good enough. And Sam Darnold will hang around. And it's at home. Also, mentioned this before, teams that play in dome stadiums are 1-4 in the playoffs if the weather's below. 1-14, excuse me, in the playoffs if the weather's below negative 40. The Rams are one of the worst teams in cold weather.
Negative 40?
Yeah. Or sorry, 40 or below.
It'll oh my be, God.
They'd be dead.
Another reason why the Patriots are going to win, by the way.
The Rams are horrible in cold weather. They're 1-7 in cold weather games under Sean McVay. And it'll be cold and rainy in Seattle with that defense, that crowd, with a week to prepare, with an extra week to prepare. I think the Seahawks eke it out, personally. How about you guys?
Rams. Puka. Stafford. They're gonna get their revenge for that other game.
Where they lost. But then the game before that, though, the Seahawks lost by two.
Rams. I think this is the year of Matthew Stafford.
He's gonna win. I might have to use my veto. I think the Seahawks like genuinely win.
He's gonna win the Super Bowl. He's gonna win Super Bowl MVP. He's gonna get the trifecta. I think this is the year of Matthew Stafford.
No way.
I think so. He just feels like he's. This is like his year to like finally like, I don't know, lock himself in as like one of the top quarterbacks, you know, ever.
I think statistically they have really bad corners. Like they have bad corners and they're playing the offensive player of the year. Like I said, cold weather against one of the hardest stadiums to play in, coming off what could end up being a decently tough game in Carolina where they got to go across the country.
I don't think the game in Carolina is going to be tough. I think they're going to blow them out.
Still going across the country.
Fair. Going around. Right.
Joe and Mary.
This is the game I'm most torn on. Most other games I have a pretty good pulse on. This one's pretty 50-50, obviously split in the
winner of this game goes to the Super Bowl, in my opinion. By the way, I think winner of this game wins the Super Bowl. I think this game will happen.
This is like going to be a little biased pick. Not that I like the Seahawks at all, but I think I'd go Seahawks because it would just be kind of fun if it was Seahawks Patriots in the Super Bowl. Considering that me, Griffin, and Chris are all going. So that would be a fun matchup. And that would create quite the crazy week. Do I think the Seahawks are a better team? No. For me, it comes down, again, quarterback position. I trust Matt Stafford, close game, so much more than Sam Darnold. But again, we saw a close game between these two teams in which the Seahawks did win this season, and Sam Darnold didn't play great. Yeah, I'll go with Seattle. I don't know if I actually believe that, but that's where I'll go.
Do you want to know the win? Seahawks have only lost 3 games this year. Those games have been by a combined 9 points.
Cool.
Also, every year the Seahawks have been one seed, they've made the Super Bowl. Also, the last fun thing I wanted to bring up about the Seahawks, the fun fact is that I don't know if you guys have seen, every time a new Pope is elected, the Seahawks win the Super Bowl. Or go to the Super Bowl, excuse me.
Right.
2005, 2013.
Sure.
Now 2025. We're the one seed.
Okay.
Just a little.
That is interesting, actually. And on that note, I hate to say this, but I do also think that the Seahawks have this game. I think that they're better equipped defensively to handle a situation like Matthew Stafford, and I would like to see him lose. So
nice. Now that in this scenario the Bears are hosting the Eagles and it's not the Eagles playing someone that's not the Bears, is it crazy to say that I like the Bears in this one if it's in Chicago?
It's not crazy to say that.
I like the Bears too.
Not crazy to say that. My thing is, I think if the Eagles win one game, then I think they win 2 games. If they get a roll going, especially offensively, then they become really scary. And this is like, I believe this in every single sport, but when a team is young and ahead of schedule, I'm always hesitant to pick them in their first trip out to the playoffs. And the Bears are a team where they just don't have an ingrained culture of winning, where maybe some teams that are making, I'm being like making a loophole for the Patriots, obviously, maybe some teams that have coaching personnel with postseason pedigree are able to handle those first trips back to the playoff better. Bears do have Ben Johnson, but Ben Johnson actually didn't finish the job or make the Super Bowl when he was in Detroit. Caleb Williams still young. I don't trust Caleb Williams to have consecutive good games, really, still. I don't think the Bears' defense is anything special. I think the Eagles get this run game going. That's obviously a big if, but if they really kick it into high gear the way that they can, they could be the best running attack in the league. Then I have to go Philly. So I'm going to take the Eagles.
I'm also going to take the Eagles. I think that kind of to what you're saying, Joe, that when Jalen Hurts gets going and kind of this culture that is playoffs, it's hard to make him stop. And I don't trust the Bears defense to stop him.
They do have the most takeaways in the NFL. So, but I can also see that, Owen, you said the Bears.
I'm not picking the Eagles.
All right. We have a tie. Listen, I think in this scenario with tie, I'm fine saying the Eagles win. Like, I could see the Eagles winning this game.
I could too. I just refuse. I'm never going to be sick.
We'll go with the Eagles.
Yeah.
In the AFC divisional, start out with another really close game. Patriots Jags. And
come on, this is where the Patriots like this is the Patriots schedule.
It's in New England. I think the Jags win this game, but it's just the Patriots, man. Like, I feel like there is something to be said about, like, they would just
they would just
win, though, you know, like
they've won winning versus a team above 500.
This would be the most, like, two of the most balanced teams in the league playing each other. And I think maybe a team from Florida going to New England in the winter.
But we haven't seen the Patriots play like a good team yet. Besides,
also, Vrabel has more playoff coaching experience than Cohen in the playoffs.
So Vrabel played Tom Brady's career in New England.
Okay, what is that? Is that a bad?
I just remember that when Logan Ryan had that nice little Patriots pick six off Tom Brady.
And now he's starting the new one. I got to go Patriots here, obviously. I mean, they're home. I think the weather could play a factor. I think the Jaguars haven't been fazed by really anything all year, so no disrespect to them at all as an opponent. And, yeah, I think it's a good point saying, like, these are two of the best, most well-rounded teams in football. Neither of these teams really have a glaring weakness on either side of the ball. So when it comes to that, I think Patriots just have the overall edge offensively. The way that they've been mowing teams down lately, I know it's the Jets and the Dolphins. I know, I get it. But their offense has been historically efficient the past 2 weeks. And the way that this team gets out of the gates, I mean, Patriots are holding not just one score, but 2-3 score leads in every single game they play, even when they blow that lead to the Bills. They started out, 21-0? And for a young playoff team, again, and the Jaguars, I think that a hole like that would be hard to dig back from. And I really trust the Patriots to get out on the right foot and to sustain that come playoff season. I think they have all the right tools, from coaching to the personnel on the field.
I totally agree. And I think that kind of with the end of the Patriots season, the way that it went, I think they have way more momentum and, I guess, locker room hype than maybe the Jags do. And I think they maybe feel like the clock is going to be ticking down and they have a lot to prove. Being of like the Patriots legacy. And I think they're going to be able to rally more than the Jaguars are, especially at home.
All right. So we have the Patriots going through. Now it is Houston in Denver. I think Houston wins this game. I think Bo Nix cannot handle the Houston defense. And I think offensively, honestly, the teams are pretty similar in their threats. I don't know. Broncos are frauds. They're 11-2 in one score games. Like, against bad teams. I like the Texans.
I also like the Texans. I think they're my sleeper to win the Super Bowl. I really like their defense, and I think CJ Stroud and that offense can piece it together enough to make a run. Also, the Broncos, really, their offense has been struggling all year. Very defensive heavy team. I don't know about Bo Nix. Like, I mean, his best game was against the Giants defense this year, which is nothing special at all. And actually, I think I could have a game like that against the Giants defense. So I think Texans.
Oh, I go Broncos here. I really do. I'm not a Bronco believer. This is a pure Joe Henry intuition pick. And you might know from last year at NFL Pick'em, I have the best intuition of anyone here. So I think the Broncos.
Who won the fantasy league?
Championship. Won the fantasy league? It doesn't matter. We stopped posting about it.
Yeah.
Didn't stop posting about. I won it all. I think that the Broncos ride. I mean, Mile High, good advantage. I think the Texans are. I don't know if I can say that they're a better team. I don't know if I trust the Texans. But I wouldn't be stunned if they win this game at all. The reason why I picked the Broncos is because in my head, I think growing up, Massachusetts, Broncos, Patriots, AFC Championship, boy, it was a decade ago now or 11 years ago. I think they played two times in the AFC Championship and split. Those games ingrained in my head. I have a vision of the future in which the Patriots are traveling to Denver for the AFC Championship game. And
who'd they end up playing in the Super Bowl both those years? Who'd the winner of that game play in the Super Bowl?
I don't know. I don't remember. It's funny. I just forgot. It's crazy. And as you're alluding to, Griffin, I think history repeats itself.
Yeah, it does.
Maybe without much logic going into this pick, I think that the Broncos do win a playoff game. I think that they do host the AFC Championship game. And I think it's a really cool rematch.
Mary, you have to break this.
I also think that it's the Broncos. I think that I do believe that Houston is maybe more capable than the Broncos going into this playoff. I think kind of in a similar fashion, like the Broncos just have something special in their locker room right now. And I think that that accounts to so much about what happens to when you play on your home field. Yeah, I feel like Texans is the logical answer here, but I really want to say the Broncos. I also feel the Broncos, but you could bully me into going either way, I think.
I'll flip to the Broncos. The more you guys talk about it, the more it's like, yeah. I also have been kind of wishfully thinking for like, I want the Seahawks to play the Texans in the Super Bowl because I think we'd win. But realistically, the Broncos, yeah, the Texans can win. Don't get me wrong, but I do think it just makes more sense, you know. All right, NFC Championship time. Seahawks, Eagles. I'll let you guys give your opinions on this first before I go. In Seattle, by the way,
at Lumen Field, it would be an awesome game. It would be so fun. I think the Seahawks match up decently well. I mean, I think those teams that the Seahawks match up better with. The Eagles can, like, again, if the Eagles make it this far, that means that they've got something scary going offensively, most likely. But I think the Seahawks are well equipped to, like, the Eagles would have to beat Seattle through the air in the same way that the Rams were able to consistently put up points in both of their games. And I don't know. Something, it tells me, like, again, it's stupid intuition stuff. Like, this is horrible analysis from Joe Henry, but, like, I think the Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl this year. I really do. So I have to take them. I think the Philly run ends there. I think that in all likelihood, as this Philly team I've been talking about winning games, I don't think that they put it all together magically at the last second. In the same way that this has constantly haunted the Eagles for years, even when they won the Super Bowl last year, really that was the only exception. There's always noise. There's always dysfunction. There's always something going wrong. I think that the Seahawks are too good of a team for that not to catch up with them here.
They haven't beaten the Eagles
are not dominant enough of a team to overpower a narrative like that the way that they were able to all of last year. So I think stuff like that, you know, maybe it's a targets thing with A.J. Brown. Maybe it's a Barkley run game not fully going or the defense showing some holes. I think that this is the game where Seattle at home gets it done, returns to the Super Bowl, sets up what could be a really cool matchup between two teams that were not expected to be here at all.
They haven't beaten Seattle since the Eagles haven't beaten Seattle since the Bush administration, which is crazy. But yeah. Married Owen before I
Seattle. Can't pick the Eagles.
I agree. I hate the Eagles. I also believe in Seattle more.
So my opinion is this is a dream matchup for Seattle. I think it's not close at all. I think Seahawks match up with the Eagles more than any other team in the NFC. Because, Joe, you mentioned it. This is a team that's dysfunctional on offense. And you saw what the Seahawks can do against a team who's debatably one of the best offenses in the NFC, the Niners. You're right. This team, like the Eagles, are first team all bad vibes. You know, they're not. And when they get dysfunctional, they get dysfunctional. Yeah, their defense is good, but Sam Darnold can manage games, I think. And I just really don't see how Jalen Hurts does anything against the Seahawks pass defense at Lumen Field with the 12s behind them. And yeah, I agree. I think Seahawks go to Super Bowl. Joe, you were kind of mentioning this. You and I, and like Carino and I, Seahawks fans. The year my mom worked for Nike, the first year she did the NFL for them, she got to go to the Super Bowl. Seahawks won the Super Bowl against the Denver Broncos. You know, like one of those things where it's just kind of feel. And knowing this, it's been one of those things where like, man, how cool would it be if the Seahawks made the Super Bowl? And the closer you get, you're like, Seahawks look really good. Like they look like they can make the Super Bowl, and I kind of find it hard to believe that they don't make the Super Bowl. I think they're the best team in the NFC. So now we move into Broncos Patriots. And I guess I choose the Patriots for this. They're better than the Broncos.
I mean, it's going to be the Texans there no matter what. So it's going to be the Texans in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I'm not picking Drake this kid. There's no way he wins four games. They win three games against teams above.
Bro, Seahawks.
No way. Why is there no way?
Because they aren't good. The Patriots aren't good.
How many games?
Dude, Seahawks Texans
watched. Oh
yeah.
What?
How many games do you watch?
Watched a lot of them. My roommate's a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. A Seahawks Texans.
No.
What?
You've watched this team play and you think they're frauds?
Because they play terrible teams. Oh man, you beat up on the Jets. You beat up on the Dolphins. The backup quarterback Bengals. Oh, mm-hmm. Tyler Huntley, man. This is really impressive stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and if it was a Seahawks Texans.
Andy Super Dalton. Bowl. Did you guys beat Andy Dalton or was it Bryce Young? Did he at least beat Bryce Young?
Oh, and a Seahawks Texans Super Bowl would genuinely be at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Disney Plus. Like I'm not even like I'm like
no, because people would say that about like the one it was Rams Bengals, because the Rams aren't really like that super big of a market, even though they're LA, like they don't have a fan base.
No, let's be honest, the league wants Bills Eagles.
I don't think they want Eagles. People really are tired.
No, it's because it's back to back. It's easier to market. True. East Coast team. They want Bills Eagles, but Joe, hey, Joe, like I did with the Seahawks, I'll let you explain why you think the Patriots. Beat the Broncos, excuse me.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good matchup. You have like the Broncos, you could argue, are the best pass defense in the league. I mean, the other rushing defense or their pass rush might be even better. But that factors into it, right? And the Patriots O-line is a question mark. They get Will Campbell back. Jared Wilson, I believe, is back. And that O-line, when healthy, has been really, really good. But they have guys recovering from injuries. So three more games played, a Patriots team that started out super, super healthy and then started to deteriorate. That could be an X factor there. If more injuries come into play, that's where the Broncos could carve out an advantage. But overall, I think, I mean, any team going to Denver, that's a disadvantage. It's Denver. It's Mile High, right? But I think that New England is a team decently equipped to do it just because they play in cold weather. They're going to have hosted two games in cold weather. And it's different with the altitude. But I think the Patriots, I mean, they're undefeated on the road this season. They're 8-0. I really like their odds going into anywhere. I think coaching-wise, I take my variable over anyone. I don't care. I think he's just done a magnificent job. And I really, again, comes down to the quarterback. In a game like this, two good teams, you know, you could give the Broncos the edge because of home field advantage. Then you look at the quarterback position to me. And Owen, I don't know if you disagree with me. I think Drake May is, I mean, it's not even close, the gap between Drake May and Bo Nix. I think
I also hate Bo Nix. I hate both these teams. Both are frauds. Yeah. It's the two teams with the easiest schedule in the NFL. They're not. Okay. Neither of them are going to be in this game.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure, Owen. I'll check back with you in a few weeks, man.
I'll throw some money on it that neither of these teams will be in the championship game.
Oh, my God.
One of them will definitely be.
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos only have to win one game to get there. And the Patriots will be hosting both of their games to get there. So, yeah, give me the Patriots going to Super Bowl.
Mary, what do you
also, think? I also think Patriots. I think Drake May is better equipped to handle a game like this than Bo Nix is. I don't see the hype about Bo Nix that I think the media does. I think he's there and I think he does his job, but I don't think he does it the same way that Drake May does. I also think that Drake May is better protected when it comes to the O-line. I think that that's maybe something that the Broncos are lacking. And in that way, I guess, I think that the Patriots defense is more able to defend against a team, an O-line that I think is fraud like Bo Nix. So I definitely have the Patriots.
All right. Seahawks, Patriots, Super Bowl in Santa Clara.
Man, that music to my ears. That's
beautiful. I know.
Rematch from, 12 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess it would be 11, 49? This is going to be 60, right?
Yeah. Joe, I think you know.
I can't wait for Super Bowl 67. Oh, my God.
What's going so wrong with you, Owen?
This 28 is years old? That's going to be so awesome when I'm 28.
Joe, again, I'm not even saying this like a fan. I think the Seahawks match up well against the Patriots.
Why do you say that?
Because your guys' whole thing is your offense, and our whole thing is our defense. Yeah, but it's not as good. Like, also, like, who do you guys have? I'm sorry, Kayshawn Booty. I mean, who's the cornball you got at wide receiver?
He loves home cooked meals. Stephon Diggs.
No. Who's
does he?
Oh, Mac Hollins. You're talking about.
Yeah, Mac Hollins.
He's on IR right now. We'll see.
Another fun fact. Never mind.
I'm sorry. The Seahawks played in the best division, debatably all time, like record wise all time. They'd be coming off wins against Matthew Stafford, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Puka. I don't know. Mac Hollins and Travion Henderson. Mike McDonald's seen the Patriots before. Granted, not as good as they were, but I think the Seahawks offense is good enough where they put up points against your defense. And I think the Seahawks defense is good enough where the Patriots don't put up as many points. Great stat out of Kelty.
Thank you.
Apparently there's gonna be a fifth on the way too, so congrats.
Wow, congrats to him.
Congrats to him. I don't know. I think the Seahawks would win this. I think the Seahawks are gonna win the Super Bowl this year.
I also think the Seahawks win. It pains me to go against. I know it pains me, and I'm not proud of it. But I think the Seahawks have the edge over the Patriots offense. I think that we're really efficient, but I think that the Seahawks defense is more able to defend. And I think that really showed with that second Bills game for the Patriots. I think that you could see kind of the cracks that are in an offense. And I think that the Seahawks are probably going to prey on those cracks, and I think that they're going to be able to defeat the Patriots.
Yeah, obviously I'm just going to say no to that. I mean, it's a good point. Like, that's where the Seahawks would win. It would have to be a high-scoring game because that's the clear advantage. Like, two really good offenses. I'd venture to say the Patriots offense is better. Don't underestimate Travion Henderson and the run that Ramondre Stevenson is on too. A guy who's really redeemed himself in a big way. Our rushing attack has been fantastic lately. So I think overall, offensively, I like the Patriots go up against anyone in the league. But yeah, defensively, be where it is. And I think this game's going to look a lot different by the time we get here. If these teams play, it's going to be, what, 4 weeks from now? So who knows what's happened with injuries, with player performance, how the quarterbacks are doing, you know, running backs, their fumble issues. That's been a problem in the past for Ramondre, and defensive health too. So it's hard to make a prediction this far out. Obviously, I'm going to go with the Patriots. And I think if the Patriots were to get this far, I think they've acquitted themselves of all the schedule concerns, of the late game concerns, you know, not having been in a lot of close games late this season or under Drake May in general.
It'd be a narrative
pretty high score. I think it would be close. And I think it's going to be which quarterback can make the necessary amount of plays in the fourth quarter. And for me, I take Drake May over Sam Darnold any day. So Patriots are winning the Super Bowl.
Sam Darnold, by the way, has like a game-winning drive on the biggest stage against the Rams. But I agree. The only thing I would rebuff that, Joe, is I think if the Seahawks do make the Super Bowl, like you said, we're looking at the Seahawks offense as it is now. I think if the Seahawks do make the Super Bowl, which I think they will, people are going to be looking at their offense as a little better than they are now. Honestly, I think also at that point, it'd be, okay, Sam Darnold made a Super Bowl, right? That being said, I agree with you. He could throw like a duck in the Super Bowl. Very much so. Yeah,
absolutely. Oh, and break what? Probably his two biggest games of the year this year were the games against the Rams, and those were, what, two of his four worst games, probably?
Yeah, but I mean, lost by two. They should have won the first game. Like, I don't know.
In those games, for sure.
Someone said, what I like, this how I describe Sam Darnold, Joe, I can't remember if I told you this. Sam Darnold, due to his defense and his special teams, has 9 lives a game.
Yeah.
And he uses 8 of them. You know? Like, he uses 8 of them. But that's just how good I think this Seahawks team is. Owen, Seahawks or Patriots?
I'm going with Seattle. My Super Bowl picks the Texans, though. So, in the end, none of it matters.
Yeah, Owen, in my predictions, I had to do some of my work at work. I had Seahawks Texans as my Super Bowl prediction. But wow, is this going to be a WFV curse? Who did we? Do you know who we chose? Did we do this last year, Joe? Do you know?
I don't think we did a full bracket.
Okay. I mean, yeah, the Eagles last year surely would have been the pick, right?
Yeah, or the Chiefs. My pick.
I would have the Bills.
Yeah. I don't know. I was wishing for the Commanders. I honestly think the Bears have the capability to be like what the Commanders were, but like a little better. Like, I think the Bears could have a game like Jaden Daniels did against, and Caleb Williams have a game like Jaden Daniels did against the Lions. I think the NFC is the biggest one because I would love not to play the Rams as a Seahawks fan, and I think that's possible, but I don't know. I think this is the most wide open it's ever been. Honestly, the parity is insane in the NFL this year.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm excited.
It's wide open.
Yeah. And Joe.
The Giants.
Yeah. Joe, I hope and pray that it's Seahawks Patriots, man. That'd be amazing.
Awesome.
That would be so good. That would be so good. But yeah, I think that'll conclude. So our WFB prediction is the Seattle Seahawks. Can't believe I'm saying that. Considering, I got to go back and find the clip where I did say the Seahawks would be way better than everyone thought this year. But granted, I am a Seahawks fan, so I would hope I'd be saying that. Also, that'd be amazing because it'd mean the Seahawks win a Super Bowl in Levi's Stadium, which Twitter, that's gonna be like chef's kiss for me on Twitter for the next like 5 years. Oh, 10 years, actually, 20 even maybe. But that'll do it. Thank you guys so much for joining me. This was an awesome episode. We got nearly like an hour and a half worth. So hope everyone enjoys this one. I've been Griffin Stevenson, joined by Joseph Henry, Mary Hannah Gallagher, and Owen Kelty. You've been listening to NFL Friday. Remember, NFL Friday is a production of WFUV Sports.